of nowhere that I would rather have this victory.
Let's see the great state of Pennsylvania lead this country into the political revolution.
This one's personal.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09 and it is Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to midweek. It's a busy day all across the world. Have lots to talk about for you. The Dark Sky Association is going to be on with us to talk about very quickly here soon the mayor's decision to change all of the street lights in the city to LED lights. And later in the broadcast, we're going to be talking to Mr. Innovation and Mr. Startup himself, Scott Catoon, about yesterday's big event at 1871 in Chicago. They've announced an expansion there. We'll tell you what's going on. But first, let's start with some market intel from around the globe from the WGN market desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing in the bottom direction, negative direction, off about 13 points this morning. The S&P futures, NASDAQ futures also lower by just a little bit, about 3 points on each of those. In Europe overnight also, we're seeing a lot of red. The DAX in Germany is down almost a 0.5%. Same story with the FTSE in Asia. The Nikkei was up just a little bit. However, the other markets in China, the Hang Seng, for instance, off about 1%, 199 points. What's driving the markets this morning? Still, it is the issue with the economy in China. We still have oil prices to deal with. And also, the stocks here in the United States, oil prices here putting pressure on things as well. The two-day advance by the stock market may be over on the S&P as well. Ahead of the opening bell, investors are waiting to get March reading on existing home sales and earnings reports from Coca-Cola and supermarket operator Super Value, all coming out later today. Yesterday, of course, we heard from Intel. Things are not good at Intel. They're going to actually lay off about 11% of their workforce after disappointing earnings. And this is just pretty basic. We're all buying tablets and smartphones, and we're not buying PCs. And so that's what's driving Intel again, about 12,000 employees, or about 11% of its workforce. Also yesterday on Capitol Hill, the lawyers for Apple and for the government were back before a congressional committee talking about encryption. A lawyer from Apple asked a very pointed question about what is encryption, why is it important. This was his answer to the congressional committee yesterday.
To suggest that the American people must choose between privacy and security is to present a false choice. The issue is not about privacy at the expense of security. It's about maximizing safety and security. We feel strongly that Americans will be better off if we can offer the very best protections for their digital lives.
That was the mayor of the Apple attorney yesterday on Capitol Hill. The FBI says that criminals are getting the upper hand in many countries because they're using encrypted technology. Mayor Emanuel has announced an initiative to improve quality, reliability of Chicago streetlights. 270,000 streetlights are going to be replaced with new LED lights. We thought we'd go to the Dark Sky Association, International Dark Sky Association. This is a group that has dedicated its being to making us able to see the night sky, being able to get rid of light pollution, as they call it. Joining us via Skype this morning is John Ballantyne, Dr. John Ballantyne, who's with the agency. He's an expert in this field. And good morning, Dr. Ballantyne. My question to you is, did Mayor Emanuel choose the right kind of LED lights? Is this a good decision for Chicago?
I approve with a few conditions. And what I mean by that is, of course, you know, we're in favor of the city saving money through installing more energy efficient outdoor lighting. But we have some concerns about the exact qualities of those lights that we think that the city should address before it moves forward.
What do you mean exactly?
So what I mean by that is the city is looking at putting in LED lights that have a relatively high, what we call color temperature. And that has to do with the color quality of the light that the lights will be putting out. And the selection that they've made seems to have quite a bit of blue light that it will emit. And that is a source of some problems that we know about relating to impacts to wildlife, to human health, and some other concerns.
And so what would, let's say, the impact for human health be?
So humans don't get a tremendous amount of their light exposure at night, but there is a known connection between exposure to blue light and the disruption of circadian rhythm in people, which is our body's way of regulating different functions throughout the 24-hour day. And putting extra light into that environment that is triggering of that cycle is something that's known to cause mild problems like insomnia and more significant problems like up to and including cancer. So, of course, you know, we're trying to get people to limit their exposure to the short wavelength light as much as possible at night. And it's not so much a problem with outdoor lighting, but we know that, of course, some of that light will make its way into indoor spaces through windows.
And what does the evidence show about how this might affect wildlife?
There's a mounting degree of evidence that says that wildlife is affected in much the way that people are, in that it's known to also disrupt their circadian rhythms. And we're talking from everything from animals on down to insects. And it affects also their feeding strategies, their reproductive strategies. This is especially important in urban situations where you have wildlife that's already trying to cope with a much higher ambient level of light than it would experience outside of the city, and trying to survive in that environment. And by adding more blue light to it, we're actually setting up a situation where it's sort of a further insult to species that are already sort of threatened by the situation they're in.
What would be one or two of the species that would be most impacted by something like this?
I think in a city environment, the biggest impact that people might notice is to birds. And we've seen in cases of especially brightly lit downtown areas of cities where you have a lot of skyscrapers, that all that light is very attractive to birds, many of whom are on migratory flyways that pass over cities like Chicago. And as they're attracted to that light, they come in and start circling, and eventually they will either die of exhaustion, they'll fall right out of the sky, or in some cases they'll fly into the lit windows of buildings. So by adding more light to the environment, and in particular more of this short wavelength variety, we're setting up a situation where the city will become increasingly attractive to birds, and people who are walking around downtown at night may be more likely to come across bird carcasses on the sidewalk that have resulted from these collisions.
We're on Skype this morning with Dr. John Ballantyne of the International Dark Sky Association. More on the LED switch in Chicago.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Investors turned in a mixed performance yesterday, but it was still enough to push the S&P 500 above 2100 for the first time since December, and the Dow to 18,053. The NASDAQ continued to lag, falling nearly 20 points at the close. New home construction fell in March by the largest margin in 5 months, with weakness in all regions of the country except the Northeast. Home builders have been helping to fuel the overall economy. Analysts expect the sector to bounce back. Intel plans to lay off about 12,000 employees in a shift away from the struggling PC market and toward cloud computing and connected devices. California-based Intel hasn't said where the layoffs will occur. And the Senate is poised to pass a wide-ranging energy bill to promote a variety of energy sources and speed federal approval of projects to export liquefied natural gas to Europe and Asia. The bill would boost renewables like solar and wind power, as well as natural gas, hydropower, and geothermal energy. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 522. Welcome back to the program. Our conversation this morning is with Dr. John Ballantyne of the International Dark Sky Association. We're talking about the decision by the city of Chicago to replace all the streetlights with LED lights. And John is with us on Skype this morning from Arizona, where the association is based. John, is there a type of LED light that Chicago could choose that would have fewer negative effects?
There are. What we have found is that as the color temperature of the lights decreases, there's less blue emission, and yet you still get good color rendering properties, which is something that the police department will appreciate. There'll be perfectly adequate light levels. And now we know that these so-called warmer lights that have less blue emission are just as energy efficient as the higher color temperature, more cool white, if you will, lights are achieving in terms of their energy efficiency. So that used to be an argument against these warmer white lights, was that they weren't as energy efficient and they resulted in higher operating costs over the lifetime of the fixture. But the technology around outdoor lighting is evolving so rapidly right now that we have seen massive improvements in energy efficiency with these warmer fixtures. And that's ultimately what we would recommend to the city of Chicago.
And is this choice then a less expensive choice than that one, or why do you think these were selected, if you had to guess?
I think that the city opted for these cooler white lights in part because that's what the manufacturing industry really wants to sell right now. And I believe that's a result of the fact that they see the writing on the wall with respect to all the scientific information that we have about the problems associated with blue light, and that they expect in the future that more municipalities are going to alter their outdoor lighting codes to demand the warmer white colors that result in less emission of blue light. And so it's just a matter of trying to get rid of the stock that they have on hand. And for a big city like Chicago, of course, you know, this is a very expensive project, and we certainly recognize that. But again, now that we're down to the point that the energy efficiency is matched between these different options, that it's no longer a choice that has to be made strictly on an economic basis. So that the city can still get a good outcome here. And even if it were to just take a step back, study the problem a little bit more, get a little bit more public input as to what people prefer, that they can have a cost-effective outcome here that will be best for everybody in Chicago.
So let's go through a couple of things that the mayor has said. And the first is that this project, these lights, will improve lighting quality and reliability throughout the city.
I would agree that they will improve reliability in the sense that the LED lights that are going in many cities now are relatively low maintenance compared to existing street lighting systems. So that you make this upfront investment that involves putting in the new lights, but then the maintenance budget that the city will spend on keeping the lights going should drop off, that we don't see as many problems related to environmental exposure as we do with other types of lights. So that's certainly one thing that will benefit them.
The other thing is the City Hall says this will be public safety will be improved with these clearer, brighter lights. Is that accurate?
If the claim is made that these lights will improve security, I would be interested to know what evidence that the city has to support that, because the scientific studies of this subject are not at all clear in terms of the benefit of adding light to spaces, especially those that were not previously lit. And we have almost no data on cases where lighting levels were adjusted to be either brighter or dimmer. There is a study that was done in Chicago about 15 years ago that looked at the lighting of alleyways, and specifically of adding light to these spaces in order to try to decrease crime. And the study results found that adding light to some of these spaces ironically increased the incidence of different types of crime. And the hypothesis behind that is that sometimes making situations brighter by adding more light is increasing the probability of crimes of opportunity, because perpetrators have an easier time seeing what they're doing. So I think that there are some cases where improving the quality of light in a situation may result in better public safety. But I think the evidence is very thin that adding light or increasing the intensity of light will have the effect of reducing crime.
You know, in Chicago, we have a history of money being spent, you know, because it's somebody's friend, or, you know, how that goes. And that was sort of my first thought, is why would the mayor select, you know, to go this route if there hadn't been a study? Is there, you know, maybe a sweetheart deal involved?
Well, it's hard to say. Chicago doesn't have that reputation. But the only reason I think that there's not necessarily something nefarious going on is that we see the same story playing out over and over and over again in American cities, many of whom have already done their conversion. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for these people who are in, you know, city manager offices and streets departments and things like that, where there's a very strong political pressure on local leaders to reduce costs. You know, we haven't fully recovered from the recession, and a lot of municipal governments really suffered severely under that because of their the tax revenue that funds city operations. So the voters are saying, you know, do everything you can to reduce costs, and they are sold this idea that they can significantly reduce their electricity use if they put in new lights. And so they go to a manufacturer and they say, tell me how to reduce my energy costs. And the manufacturer is very happy to sell them what they want to sell them. But we have seen some cases where other cities have regretted this decision after putting in these very cool white lighting systems that the residents really dislike. And there's a sort of a poster child for this, which is a city in California called Davis, where the public reaction to the cool white LED system was so significant and overwhelmingly negative that the city ended up at its own cost removing all of those lights and replacing them with a warmer lighting system. That's an extreme case, but we're seeing lots of complaints from other cities where people find this this cool white lighting to be very sterile, very unfriendly, causing people to have to buy blackout curtains for their windows, that sort of thing. So, you know, we're just trying to get people to slow down, study the issue a little bit more, and especially to get resident feedback. That's really important so that they don't end up making a decision that in the end the city voters decide that they can't accept.
That's Dr. John Ballantyne with the Dark Sky Association. You can find them darksky.org, at Twitter at IDA Dark Sky. It's 5:30.
From ABC News Tech Trends, putting the brakes on distracted driving. Even though it's against the law in most states, there's nothing really stopping drivers from texting behind the wheel.
They know it's illegal, but they continue to do it.
But a new in-car system could give the parents of teens some peace of mind. It's designed to help drivers stay focused on the road by blocking certain activities on a driver's phone. Jesse Hogard is with Cell Control, the company behind the Drive ID system.
You're going to block texts, email, Snapchat, Facebook, games, the camera, pretty much anything on that phone that you as a parent deem distracting.
The device itself attaches to the windshield and can determine where the driver is in relation to the passengers, unlocking the phone if it's in the hands of a passenger, then re-engaging when it's back in the driver's hand. And it works in conjunction with the existing Drive ID app, which has been updated to work with the new system. With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:40. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. The Tech Hub 1871 has unveiled its latest expansion in Chicago at the Merchandise Mart. Even the mayor was there. The ribbon cutting yesterday now spans about 115,000 square feet across two floors. Let's bring in Mr. Innovation, Mr. Startup, Scott Catoon of Tomorrow's Business Today on WGN+. Scott, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. Did you guys were you at the big party yesterday?
I was. It was quite the scene. Actually, it was crazy. They shut off the stairwell and everything. So because of the mayor, obviously. So there was only one way in, and it was like a bottleneck, which I'm sure they loved for the cameras.
Yeah. So 115,000 square feet across two floors. I've seen some of the pictures of this, but if you could describe what they've done for us.
You know, it's funny. So if you've ever been into 1871, you look at 1.0, which is now where they basically have an atrium. It was a kind of a tiny little, like, white-out brick, you know, studio-looking place. And 2.0, which most people know to be 1871 for the last few years, is a little bit nicer. It's got a couple, like, you know, nice floors, more glass, whatever. 3.0 is quite a scene. It's upstairs. It's the entire, you know, basically the entire floor. It's all fancy. There's digital art. There's tons of really, really unique pieces of art. As you know, Howard Tolman, the CEO, is a huge art collector, so this is obviously one of his initiatives. And it's just like, it's like a palace. Those of us who are stationed on the first floor, 1871, the original 1.0, to be up there is very special.
So I'm looking at a picture in the Tribune yesterday of the mayor looking at some blue thing that's lit up, and Howard's kind of showing him around there. Is there new technology that they've added as well?
Yeah, they've got a makerspace now. They've got Windy City Chicago, which is helping out a lot of companies with regard to 3D printing, other technological pieces. There's a dev, like an actual dev floor up there for people, like computer programmers and educational platforms. The only other difference I'd say between the dev floor and what's down, you know, downstairs is a lot more of the investors, a lot more. Accenture has their innovation squad up there now, which I guess all I can tell you about that is that would suggest that the rent for upstairs is going to be higher.
So what is the future for 1871? Is there a 4.0 in the works?
I mean, honestly, I think there already is a 4.0. It's just people don't know about it. I don't remember if it's the 15th floor, but it is. They actually do station some companies themselves up there. So there's actually more space that's owned. It's just not built out. The interesting part for me is that, like I said, Accenture and the investors are now stationed there. What that indicates to me is larger businesses are the next one to go. So there'll be a 4.0 at some point if Howard has his dream come to fruition, and that would be filled with large businesses, entities, Chicago-based businesses like Boeing and other, and even, you know, ideally companies that are not even in Chicago-based. They will open their space there, and they'll send their innovation squad there, sort of like Accenture, to be able to collaborate and work with the younger startups and sort of share the dream, if you will.
Now, as somebody who's in this world, Scott, give us a sense of what it's like to be in an incubator atmosphere like this and do your work.
Okay, so I can give you kind of two perspectives. I've got the millennial perspective, or I guess the person who's like hanging at the outside of millennial. And that it's kind of chaotic at times, and collaboration is fun, and it's like a nice buzzy word, and it does work, of course. But the downside is that there's always people buzzing around you, and it's like kind of crazy. It's mayhem for some people. The positive part, though, is that everything you could ever need for what you're trying to do is right there in one place. I'm looking for capital. I'm looking for education. I'm looking for, you know, a tech team. I'm looking for someone to build this product, you know, prototype, branding, you name it, legal, accounting, whatever. And now, like I said, U.S. Amazon Wolf Point Advisors even offers you business, you know, retirement funds and business growth help. Everything you would need as a person starting a company, it's all in one place, which is unique, and it's literally the only of its kind in the world.
We're talking with Scott Catoon, the host of Tomorrow's Business Today on WGN Plus, our Mr. Startup here on The Opening Bell.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:48 on the WGN market desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing lower towards the opening bell this morning, off about 35 points. S&P NASDAQ futures off as well. Let's get the latest now on commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning, and good morning to those of you who were listening last Saturday morning on the morning show when Joe Camp, who is a risk management specialist with AgriVisor in Bloomington, Illinois, said the fund activity is picking up in the grain market. That was certainly the case yesterday. Soybeans and wheat extended gains to multi-month highs yesterday, largely because of technical and investment fund buying. Soybeans particularly, and of course a little concern about Argentine weather and the impact on that soybean crop, but the nearby soybean contract ended the day 28.5 cents higher yesterday, and the May wheat contract ended the day 12 cents higher. May corn up 3.5 cents for the day. Live cattle futures, another tough day, but not as tough as Monday. April live cattle closing $1.15 lower at $127.32. June down 60 cents yesterday. And the only bright spot, according to strategists with the American Restaurant Association, who said there's a lot of protein out there that's going to make it a little more challenging for beef demand moving forward. But we continue to hear there's a lot of grilling feature activity coming online in the coming months. So weather has an impact on the finished product with grilling season and on the growing product, as we've seen in the soybean market the past couple of days. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Grilling makes my mouth water this morning. 5:50 here on the opening bell as we continue our conversation with Scott Catoon, the host of Tomorrow's Business Today on WGN. Scott, we were talking before the break about the expansion at 1871, and there's actually some jobs, an announcement of jobs coming as well with this.
Yeah, so that was only one part of Rahm Emanuel's visit to 1871. The other was an announcement of 700 new jobs in the tech space, which has two pieces to it, right? I mean, one, it's cool to have 700 jobs, but the really interesting thing is, you know, tech companies grow exceedingly fast. So 700 jobs could become 1,000 or 1,500 or more really, really quickly. Think of a couple of companies that you might have heard of. IT Savvy is an information technology company, IT company, that just put on 30 jobs. Spot Hero is another company that everybody knows. They've hired another 50 jobs. TrustWave, another job, or another place. Reverb is another one we've talked about, music company, marketplace for music companies, added another 50 jobs. And what is more important to the economy of Chicago is that in the past year, which we have talked about this many times, 143 companies have raised over $1.7 billion, which is the best year ever for Chicago in funding. But even more exciting is that we've had 39 exits now, accounting for $8.2 billion.
I don't understand yet how we're not considered right up there with Silicon Valley and some of these other places, because you go down the list of tech companies that are adding, just adding jobs, and the list is just impressive. You've read off a couple of them here, but with the expansion of 1871, with its growing popularity, I mean, we have to be rising on these lists of people, right?
Well, we are. I mean, we are the third fastest growing tech startup city in the country. And actually, I was just in L.A. and was hanging out with a couple of venture capitalist guys out there. And to answer your question about the Silicon Valley thing, it is honestly entirely about ego and the fact that we don't build, as Howard said on my show, apps for, you know, pets, dating apps for pets. We don't have crazy, you know, sort of big user-based apps and things that draw a lot of noise and that are sexy. That's why we're not, you know, on the map like Silicon Valley, and we don't have insane valuations. So, I mean, honestly, I'm pretty proud that the companies that we build here are more about building jobs and more about building businesses than they are, you know, building a user base.
Yeah, it's sort of the philosophy that I love about Chicago, my philosophy, stay under the radar, don't cause any trouble, do your job, get it done. And that seems to be what's happening here, but it still is an impressive list. And I don't mean to be a homer about it, but it just, you know, it really is just an amazing list of companies that are doing a lot. And the fact that they're adding jobs is even a bigger deal.
I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, there are startup companies, you know, they get called bubbles, or startup, you know, startup cities become bubbles all across the country. And this is one where we literally are impacting the economy. It's a real thing. It's not just, you know, something about the future. We literally are building jobs and bringing a lot of money.
You know, part of the thing we had a discussion on the show recently, too, that it's because the media companies are located on the East and West Coast generally, and that's why those places get the attention. But we talked with some folks who are trying to change that, so maybe we'll get more attention. What's coming up on your show on WGN Plus?
We're on a little bit of a recording break right now. We're going to be picking it up again the last week of April, and we should have some really exciting news to break when we come back on before that segment. So I think people should just stay tuned and check out some of our past episodes and see the kind of different individuals we have on the show. It's pretty amazing people.
Yeah, and I like how you name drop here this morning. I was with venture capitalists yesterday. You're just very fancy, Scott, I have to tell
you. That's the only part of the LA story that I can tell you on the air.
Wait, there's more? Wait, that should be a podcast.
It might make my podcast. You'll never know.
All right. Scott Catoon, thanks for being with us this morning on The Opening Bell. Scott Catoon is the host of Tomorrow's Business Today on WGN Plus and our Mr. Go-To Startup Innovation Guy here on The Opening Bell. There was a little bit of news made yesterday. It was covered on the Steve Cochran show also yesterday throughout the day, but it is an important point to go back to in terms of startup. Uber has officially launched its new partner center in Wicker Park. The chief advisor of the company, David Plouf, was on the Steve Cochran show yesterday talking about the ride-sharing companies expanding into so-called transportation deserts.
42% of our rides here in Chicago start or end on South and West Side, 54% of our drivers. It's really transformed those communities. And there's also an equality to it, which is you live on the South Side, you press a button, a car's there in 3 minutes. Just like if you live on the lakefront.
12,000 square feet facility just east of the Kennedy Expressway will have a large parking lot. It's going to serve as a gathering place where Uber employees provide drivers in-person support and also some troubleshooting. There was some other news this morning involving Uber. They've shut down their food delivery service in New York. Apparently, it's not going well there. They've also run into some problems with one of their other delivery services on the East to West Coast. But the shutdown of the food delivery service in New York, a big deal for Uber today. So that's the opening bell for today. We appreciate you tuning in and being with us. We're going to be back tomorrow morning, bright and early at 5 o'clock with the very latest, with another edition of the opening bell.